Greetings and salutations. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it might be that you have decided to ingest this fine product. My name is Jake Query. That is Derek Schultz. It is the incredibly creatively and appropriately named now show number 50, Hawaii 50, show 50. Derek, that means who?
Sid Fernandez, obviously.
Sid Fernandez?
Number 50.
No Marty Simmons?
I guess we could have done Marty Simmons.
Yeah, come on.
No, I was thinking the two that jumped out to me, David Robinson, Mike Singletary.
I think you've got to go Mike Singletary only because, and David Robinson actually I think is almost an underrated player. Like I think we forget retroactively how good he was.
Yeah.
But Mike Singletary, and this might be age bias, okay? Mike Singletary, though, defines his position. Like the big eyes and looking over, and like I think Mike Singletary is more immediately thought of for his position. When you say great linebackers, Mike Singletary comes to mind faster than David Robinson does when you say great centers.
I'd agree with you because you would say Wilt, Kareem, Hakeem, who was his peer.
Yeah.
I think most people would agree that Hakeem Olajuwon was a superior player to David Robinson, whereas with Singletary, outside of LT, at least in his era,
I could name,
right? You wouldn't mention very many.
I could name five centers that I think were indisputably better than David Robinson. And I think David Robinson was a wonderful player. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yep.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Yes.
Bill Russell.
Yep.
Hakeem Olajuwon. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I might be getting in trouble here.
I can think of one other one that I think was better, mostly because he was just so dominant.
Oh, Shaq.
Yeah.
I think Ewing might be also.
I think Ewing is short of that because Robinson was an elite defender, and Ewing was a good defender, but not to the level of David Robinson. David Robinson won an MVP, too.
Yeah,
you know, Patrick Ewing was a really good player. Patrick Ewing was never one of the top five players in the NBA. He was more like the eighth or ninth best player for a long time in the NBA. That's kind of where
did
I would
categorize David Robinson it. Spend his whole career with the Spurs?
Yeah.
Did he have like 1 year at the end where he was with somebody else?
Hakeem did, because remember he had that weird Toronto year, and Ewing was Orlando and Seattle.
Seattle, yeah.
But yeah, no, Robinson spent his whole career there in San Antonio.
At any rate, we'll call it, so what are we going with, Singletary?
Yeah, let's go with Singletary.
Okay. So it's the Mike Singletary edition of Query and Schultz. And Derek, there is a lot to talk about, including the cusp of the NFL season, injuries to the Colts that are a surprise but not a surprise. College football getting set. We have a busy week when it comes to that. There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, 100%. And we'll get to all of it, notably the college football stuff, because we're going to be our next show. We've got a special edition show on Thursday, so you get two shows this week, which is a huge deal. I mean, people are probably celebrating at home right now, like, oh, my God, two Query and Schultzes. Because every time that we've done a special edition show, it's usually been like our Indian show was replacing this show.
Right.
But you get this show, and you get another split out. Just like that.
Split out?
Yep. Two of them.
You've been watching Batman lately?
All up in you, Query and Schultz, this week.
Okay.
Double dose.
Okay. Do you watch Batman?
Actually, I shouldn't say double dose because that might turn off some of our audience.
Why?
That are not wanting to get a double dose of anything.
Oh, that's a good point.
Personal choice of theirs, of course.
That includes Carson Wentz. We want him to like the show, right?
Oh, God. Do we even want to tackle that? On a much sadder note, though, and I feel bad having to bring this up again because we just did this with Bob Jenkins. We did it with Slick Leonard.
Hang on, I'm going to put this shirt on.
There's been a lot of loss as far as icons are concerned in Indianapolis and Indiana sports, and we lost one early Wednesday morning from a media standpoint in Robin Miller passing away, and we're taping this now on Monday. That's when we usually tape the show. And then, of course, it debuts on Tuesday, which is probably when you're watching it at 6.05 p.m. because you don't want to wait long to see us. So you're probably live streaming this now. But when stuff happens Tuesday or Wednesday, sometimes we haven't had a chance to react to it until the next week. So I almost feel like, you know, everything is that has been said, right, about Robin Miller's incredible life and legacy. But, of course, not only a loss of an icon, but a deeply personal loss for you, Jake, because of how close you were with Robin.
Yeah. Derek, it's interesting to me. I've never really been – I mean, I've lost grandparents, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been very fortunate in my life that I have not had any out of what's the word I'm looking for? Out of sequence losses for the most part. And so I've, you know, but I've, like anybody, I'm 48 years old, so obviously I've lost people. This one's different. I'm not going to lie about it. I mean, this was hard. Even before Robin got sick, I used to think to myself, or a lot, like, man, what would life be like without Robin Miller here in Indy? And I couldn't fathom it. It was like when you find out that your favorite ice cream store or your favorite record store or your favorite clothing shop finally closed its doors and went out of business. It just was this thing that you almost took for granted every day. Robin was an immeasurable asset to this town in terms of his knowledge of the history and the lore of Indianapolis. But the thing about Robin Miller, Derek, that was so special to me is Robin had these different groups. He had Robin Miller's guys that he grew up with in Southport, Ralph and all his buddies from high school and upbringing. He had his group of, like, guys that he'd go to Vegas and gamble with, Billy Shepard, all the guys that were his gambling buddies. He had the guys that were the grease monkey mechanics that he'd met at Charlie Brown's every Friday, Scott Gogger and Scoggin, who you know, and those guys. And then he had, like, his media friends from the Star, Chap and the Benners and Mark Ambrogi and Tom Reitman, Comrade Brunner, Donna Eggert, all these different groups, but he was the clear alpha of all of them. I mean, he was the centerpiece of all of them. And you'd get together with Robin, and he'd bring these manila folders. You were part of it, a working man's friend, and you never knew what photos he was going to bring. Yeah. Here's photos of the Pacers in 73, and here's photos of A.J. Foyt's qual run in 68, whatever it might be. And he'd just sit there and go through the photos, and he always paid. He tipped every waitress and bartender, although he didn't drink, but, I mean, $20 tip minimum, you know, if it was $5, didn't matter. You always got $20. But the fact that he was – you could call Robin Miller up at any hour of the day and say, hey, who was the quarterback for the Washington Capitals football team? And I mean, he knew everything, everyone, every backstory. He was incredibly loyal. He had so many back channel relationships that people didn't know about, of people that he championed or people that he helped out. It is a huge, huge, huge loss. And one that I never thought I'd ever say this, Derek, but I'm less excited to go to the Speedway next year, because people say to me all the time, like, you love the Speedway. I love the Speedway. I think that's obvious, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm incredibly honored to work there. But my favorite thing at the racetrack has always been the practice week going into the media center where Robin's up there on the fourth floor just holding court and getting a Long's donut. Don't take two, just one. You try to take a second one. Son, those are there for everybody else. But just listening and hanging out with Robin and having and being blessed by that was such a gift. And to not have him there is like not having back home again or the pylon. I mean, it really is. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but, and I know this t-shirt's a little wrinkled, but that's the way Robin liked it. You know, Robin always had his caricature t-shirts. I mean, he's the only guy I knew, Derek, when they do a memorial for Robin, which I think is going to be probably at the end of the racing season, but when they do whatever it might be for him, I'm assuming everybody's going to be wearing sweats, right?
Yeah.
Because he would wear sweats and a sweatshirt
everywhere. All the time.
Everywhere. The man did not own a button shirt. He was the best. And we had this running gag we used to do from different media centers where I'd always say, like, can somebody tell Robin I just want to eat my snacks? Can somebody tell Robin I just want to take a nap? Here he is trying to force me a cookie in the media center on the fourth floor, because that's what he did. Here we were, and I was like, can somebody tell Robin I'm just trying to read a book? I don't even know where we were there, a hotel somewhere.
There's
him.
Donuts.
In Canada, he had this Tim Hortons donuts, and we're in the Honda Hospitality area. And that was his thing. Like, he was all, I mean, man, legend. Robin was,
you know,
the
for
best,
a lot
man.
Of people, they'll put like a thing of scotch or a cigar or something like that, like as a memorial, right?
Right.
For Robin, it should just be like a bag of Jolly Ranchers.
Oh yeah,
and just throw it up on.
I mean,
one
he
of the
lived
chairs.
On he lived on Pepsi, Long's Donuts. Although I don't know that he ate the Long's Donuts, he got them for everybody else for mm-hmm. sure. Pepsi and snap. I mean, he always had candy around. Yeah. Like he was a walking diabetic.
I remember going
machine.
Up there. You know, we used to do the show at the Firestone Garage, and I went up there with you one time, and he had like a bag of, I think it was like Blow Pops or something. And he's like, there. And I'm like, well, you know, Rob, we're about to go on the air in like 5 minutes. And he kept shaking it at me. And you had to take it.
He was the best.
Yeah,
man.
Or else he'd get really mad about it. But
he was the best.
I was you know, I knew many of these things about Robin just through osmosis from being around you. But what I was, I don't know if surprised by, because it doesn't surprise me at all that he would be this way. I guess I was surprised with the amount of young sports media people that gave remembrances and said, you know, I called Robin for this and he helped me with that. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, you're like 25 years old. Robin helped you? You know, I knew Robin was close with Chap and all the older guys, the older generation of sports media, but I had no idea how many youngsters he was still helping after, God, 50 years in the business.
When I was in the hospital in October, I have a voicemail. The first voicemail, well, not the first, but one of the first voicemails I got was from Robin. The next morning, and I'm not gonna play it because it's every other word's an expletive. But I saved it. I'll never erase it.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I've saved it. You know, I never erased it. And it's not like I went back and retrieved it because he got. I mean, I've never erased it because it's just so Robin. Like he's just there never will be another one like him. We all could aspire to be like him, but he was the best, man. So he will be missed.
And much less important than the personal loss, but still an important loss. It's a void that IndyCar will never fill.
No question.
There was no one who was more influential.
No question.
And important as a non-driver in that series. And he was even more important than a lot of the drivers than Robin Miller.
Last Monday, I did an interview with AJ Foyt about Robin. And A.J. Foyt said, you know, I'm asking him about, because A.J. Foyt and Robin had a very public feud, or a well-documented feud for many, many years. A.J. Foyt called his car a tub of, and for that year, Robin Miller in the Indianapolis Star listed his car as 14 Copenhagen TOS. And eventually, A.J. Foyt came and said, why are you putting in the paper TOS? And he said, well, that's what you called your car, a tub of blank. That's how he labeled it in the Star for the entire year. But A.J. Foyt, Robin wrote an article about A.J. Foyt cheating. And A.J. Foyt came after him and tried to slap him and whatever. And eventually, A.J. Foyt is the one that reached out to him and said, you know, let's be friends here. And like many things with Robin, even though Robin made no bones about the fact, and everyone knew towards, you know, for the last several years that he and AJ were close. But when I talked to AJ Foyt, I asked him about Robin, and AJ Foyt was talking about the race weekend of the IndyCar NASCAR doubleheader 3 weeks ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he said, I wasn't even planning on coming to Indy, but the only reason I came up there to Indy was to see Robin. And we went to lunch together, and he said, and going to Indy to see Robin was the highlight of my life. Now, think about that. A.J. Foyt in this town has won 4 Indianapolis 500s. He started more Indianapolis 500s than anybody in the history of the event. He's driven the pace car. He's taken a ceremonial victory lap with Tony Holman in the car. He's had everything showered upon him that a race car driver can. And yet, in that moment, the words that came to him instinctively was that the highlight of his life was to have lunch with Robin Miller. And that's the greatest synopsis I can give, because I don't care who you are. If you had lunch with Robin Miller once, you realized it was unlike having lunch with anyone else. Because you just sat and listened, right?
Yeah.
You were there.
Yeah. About a week after we got laid off, we went. and I was down in the dumps, and sure enough, he was there in Manila folder.
Yeah.
I remember being on the email chain, and it was us and the Benners, and he said something like, hey, the boys got gassed out. Let's buy them lunch. it was something along those lines, yeah, referencing you and me. Uh-huh. And went over there, and we you know, two and a half hours, however long it was.
Yeah, working man's friend.
And yeah, it was a great experience. I mean, I wasn't close to him like you were, but had immense respect for him, and just I love unique people, and God,
he was that
such a unique.
You know,
guy.
The other thing about Robin that I thought was just so cool and so perfect was the group of guys that he met with every Friday at Charlie Brown's. Robin passed away on Wednesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that group, Scoggin called me Wednesday night. I got choked up when Scoggin called me. Scoggin called me Wednesday night and said that Dave Scoggin, for those that don't know, who was a longtime friend of Robin's, and as knowledgeable about racing as anybody. And he said, Jake, we're still doing our lunch Friday. You should come to our Charlie Brown lunch on Friday. And I didn't do it because that's their thing, right? Like, yeah, that was that circle. Robin had his circles. That was that circle. And I wasn't going to pretend to be part of that circle. But they all got done with their lunch, and I'm sure it was cathartic for all of them to go. And they get done at Charlie Brown's in Speedway. And the waitress comes over with a chocolate cream pie, a coconut cream pie, and a banana cream pie. Says, hey, Robin called earlier this week and made sure to buy pies for everybody. It's pretty perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty perfect.
It's a great send-off.
You know?
For sure. And I'm glad that he got to say goodbye the way that he wanted to say goodbye and really go out on his own terms.
He did. I mean, he was able to go to the racetrack and have everybody come up and talk to him on the golf cart. And I remember I walked up to him in the golf cart and I said, aren't you moving to Phoenix? Good Lord, Jake, I'm not moving to Phoenix until I die. I don't plan on dying soon. But Robin knew. I think Robin knew what the reality was. But he got, Kyle Larson and Jeff Gordon and, all those guys got to come up and talk to him, Pagano, yeah, and all the guys that, and each driver, I think, felt like Robin Miller had impacted their career, and that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, he got to pen a goodbye to his readers. He got to say goodbye to his friends. He got, yep, to say goodbye to the Speedway.
You're right.
I take solace in knowing that. It could have been sudden and awful, and don't get me wrong, cancer's horrible, and it sucks that even 71 feels young, but at least he got to do all of that,
right,
before
and he
the
was,
ultimate farewell.
And he was lucid and with it until
Good.
Virtually the end.
Good.
So that's the important thing.
I'm glad to hear that.
But Robin Miller, absolutely loved and unquestionably bettered this city, and certainly as a part of that, bettered my life through my fortune in being around him, and he'll be missed.
Yeah, amen.
We'll
missed. Talk some Colts when we come back.
Okay.
College football as well. Plenty to get to on episode 50 of Query and Schultz here on ISC Sports Network.
It's here. Moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
At Bailey & Wood, we pride ourselves on our 5-star customer service. But at our core, we're a family. Family owned. And family to our customers, staff, and our community. From charity events to recognizing hometown heroes, we prioritize giving back to our communities that have always supported our growth. So let us help you get your dream home today.
Welcome back to Query and Schultz, ISC Sports Network, alongside Jake Query. I'm Derek Schultz. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends at Bailey & Wood Financial Group, BAWFG.com. 855-350-HOME. If you're looking to refinance, rates still low. Call up my dude Mike Wood and the rest of his team at Bailey & Wood.
Mike Wood has a daughter.
Yes, Bailey.
Son?
Yes.
Son? There is a son?
Yes. Walker.
See, Walker.
He has another daughter too, Wrigley.
Okay.
So three.
So Walker, though, is Mike Wood's son.
Yes, you have made this joke before.
I think it's not a joke. I think it's a fascinating
factoid.
In fact,
I sent him the clip, and
oh, really?
He actually did enjoy it, which is surprising that people mm-hmm. for some reason enjoy you. I don't really – I've never really been able to figure that out. But
you know why? Because I have a great –
for some reason they do.
Here's the thing, Derek. People enjoy me, like Mike, I think, because I have a wit about me. People call me the Whitman, right? I'm the Whitman.
Okay, you're reaching now.
Do you know who was a teammate of Whitman?
Mike Wood's son.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Mike Woodson. Yeah.
Okay.
Randy Whitman, a guy that coached and many thought might coach Indiana someday. Not the case. Instead, Mike Wood's son. Not the one from Bailey and Wood, but the former player that was, of course, a teammate of the Whitman.
Well, maybe when Mike Wood's son is old enough, he'll also work for Bailey and Wood. Because Bailey is part yeah. of the family. She was there
Correct.
At the golf outing and does a lot for them. Recent graduate.
Well, it's a family business, right?
And that's
and they
yeah,
treat
and
the customers
local,
like family,
and that's what it's
You're
all
right.
about. Indiana's mortgage lender leader, and also Jeff Saturday, part of that family now too. So,
that's right.
Really, really cool.
Mortgage
Check
and a snap.
BAWFG.com 855-350 home.
Slower, please, for people that
I'm
are
trying to remember.
Home.
13. I should remember that lucky number 13. I have the number.
BAWFG.
Yes.
BAWFG.
13 Indiana right. branch locations for Bailey.
The phone number again, please.
855-350 home. You keep trying to get me to mess that up.
No, but I think you should say it slower so that people at home.
855-350-HOME.
Okay, thank you.
Like home mortgages.
Thank you. In terms of the Colts home games, at least in the beginning, T.Y. Hilton's not going to be there.
Yeah.
Re-aggravated a neck injury. I've already seen the stuff on social media saying that he actually slipped at the grocery store.
Yeah, snowboarding accident, right?
That's right.
The big one.
Well, that one turned out to be true.
It did, which is crazy. A disc issue is what the Colts are saying, and they have no idea, but they are confident that it's not a season-ending injury, which is never good. I mean, we're in August, for God's sake, and they're saying, well, we're confident it's not season-ending.
Yeah,
to me, that
know,
means we're talking half the season.
Derek, do you remember the end of the Marvin Harrison era?
Yes. It was not pretty.
It was just always a question of, is he going to be out there? Is he not? If this was a must win, he'd be playing.
Yep.
If this was a must win, he'd be out there. Isn't every week
it was
in the
a
NFL
knee
a
with
win?
Him? Right. It was. Was that what it was?
I
think it was some
right.
sort of a knee issue for
I
Marvin.
I think that's right. But look, T.Y. Hilton's been a phenomenal player, and I'm not saying he doesn't still have some juice left in him. But this is what happens when you know Father Time's undefeated.
Yeah.
And
wrong side of 30.
You know, it's. If it's not one thing, it's the next. And then it becomes compensatory with your body. But I think T.Y. Hilton is important to Indianapolis in terms of their offense. Not necessarily even what you get out of him in terms of his speed and whatever else, but because he is still at the point where he can be a decoy. But, I mean, and last year he was their leading receiver. I mean, it's not like he completely fell off the shelf. It's they are trying to groom, and we'll see what Paris Campbell and other young players can do if Campbell can stay healthy. Maybe Campbell becomes that guy. But in the interim, he is still a guy that keeps a defense relatively honest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd much rather have him out there than not, no question about it. But I do think he's an important piece of what they want to do.
Yeah, he is because he, I think, provides veteran leadership as well because he's been around for so long. And that's a really young receiver room. You know, Paris Campbell is entering his third season. Michael Pittman's entering his second. Zach Pascal, I think, might be entering his fourth, if I'm not mistaken. It's a fairly young room. And then you've got Michael Strawn and some of these other guys that are trying
intriguing.
To win jobs and trying to be part of that.
Strawn has won a job, has he not?
I think so. I think he's at least won a roster spot. I mean, we're talking about the WR5 spot, but still, that's a spot firmly on the roster. But the top four are set. The problem is that Hilton was part of that top four, and now you're not going to have him for a long time. I think a lot of this depends on two different things, and we've talked about one of them. We have not talked about the other one. The first thing is Paris Campbell finally emerging as a consistent, healthy offensive threat.
Right.
And two, and this is something that I think people are maybe not focusing on, and they should, Michael Pittman's development into a WR1-type player. because I think he can
leading
get there.
Wide receiver.
I think he can get there. I think he can be
I would
a
agree
one.
With that.
I think last year he was a good two. I think he can get there, and they really need that. They haven't really had that since Hilton in 20. Really, with Luck, Hilton in 2018 was still a wide
this
receiver.
This is a
one
buzzword or a catchphrase, but in space, there are certain players that what you want to do is get them the ball where they have some space around them to turn and then improvise the way that you know where they're going to go, the lane they're going to go. That's Pittman, right? You get him the ball on a slant in space. He's got the speed and the vision. He can make things happen. You know, I really liked Zach Pascal because he was never an in-space guy, but he was kind of a Johnny Reliable, right? I mean, no matter where you needed to, if you just needed to dump the ball off, if you needed to get a tough catch over the middle, if you needed a long third down, he kind of just made plays. And you got to have guys like that. But the thing about T.Y. Hilton, and Reggie Wayne was really good at this, over the course of his career, he has transitioned himself from the former into the latter in terms of what kind of receiver he is. But, you know, I think personally, preseason can be very dangerous to buy into too much. I do think Strawn could be and become. People asked me the other day, like, is he a diamond in the rough guy? I think he could be. I think he could be a guy that by the end of the year, remember a couple years ago I said about Mo Alley Cox? I'm like, you mark my words.
Yeah.
Mo Alley Cox is going to have a game or big plays this year at some point where it's going to be the Mo Alley Cox game. I think Strawn could be that guy. I really do. Now, watch, he may not even make the roster. But I think personally there are going to be opportunities for him like a Dontrell Inman to make or Chester Rogers, who just hung around and then eventually started making plays. I think he could do
that. Well, you hope that maybe he could even, and this is an extreme example because it's hard for small school late round picks to end up being this way, but Pierre Garçon had a terrific NFL career.
He did.
Really, really good NFL career and was a good player here and was a good player elsewhere.
One play.
What?
Pierre Garçon. One play that.
Oh, okay.
You'd like to have one.
You
want
to bring that up?
I'm just
saying. We're talking about like good things. We're optimistic.
I agree. I'm just saying, when you hear his name, don't you think of that one play? Pierre Garçon? There's just one.
Yeah, Colts were up 10-0.
This haunts you.
That was a game.
Were you in the strip club for that?
No, that was the Bears Colts Super Bowl. I was at the Brass Flamingo on the south side. My roommate won a color TV. That was a play where that was one
a
of those
color
games,
TV as opposed to the black and white TVs.
That's how they advertised it. And it was 2007, and they said, we got a raffle for a color TV.
Okay.
Mercedes, bring up the number. And so she did. And no, but that was one of those games, and there are surprises all the time in sports. I was 150% convinced that the Colts were going to win. Like it never, and that was a good New Orleans team. It never crossed my mind that they were going to lose that game. And I hate to throw it all on Garçon because there was a lot of stuff. Jim Caldwell completely butchered the end of the first half. Obviously the Tracy Porter interception, the onside kick. There are a lot of things that you can point to. But if Garçon catches that and it's 17-3, the Colts win that by 2-3 touchdowns.
You really
they
think
win
so?
It going away. Yep. The game changed because the Colts couldn't land the knockout blow in the first quarter and a half. If they would have just landed the haymaker, they would have won, but they didn't. The Saints hung around enough, and then
that's
they landed some punches of their own.
That's fair.
And that's the way that I'll always feel about that. And you think about, and I know that he won one in Denver, you think about how much that would have changed the narrative around Peyton Manning's career if they would have won that second one. Because they really would have been, would have been 17-0 in games that they tried to win.
Yeah,
because they punted the Jets game. Week 17 game was whatever. They won two playoff games, and they would have won the Super Bowl. Sorry, I didn't mean to get too off track there.
You know, one area of this Colts team that we don't talk a lot about, Derek, and that's their ability to run the football. And I realize that right now the offensive line is still – I mean, there's some concerns here on the offensive line. I mean, clearly the left side, you got to hope that Fisher is plugged in and, boom, ready to go. No problem.
Quentin Nelson got cleared today, so that's good news.
That is, but again, you know, is he – He probably is plug and ready to go. But I think that we have taken for granted throughout camp just how good their running back core could be and how much they can control. You know, they don't need a lot out of Carson Wentz, quite frankly, when you can run the ball like that. I'm not saying that's what they're going to prioritize, but I do think that gives them a huge first step offensively.
Yeah, it's got to be the best 1-2-3 in the league with Taylor and then Marlon Mack coming back, a former 1,000-yard rusher, and then Nyheim Hines is kind of their Swiss Army knife back there. I can't imagine that there's three better running – a better stable of running backs than those two three. But a lot of it's going to depend on the offensive line. Julian Davenport apparently has won the left tackle job, you know, one. He was the least bad of the options, and then Sam Tevi, of course, is out for the year, so that took him out of the mix anyway. But we'll see if they're able to survive not having Eric Fisher for the first couple of weeks.
Do they carry three quarterbacks? We know that Ellinger is going to be hurt. Do they carry three quarterbacks, or do they do two and one on practice squad?
Yeah, I think – well, they put Ellinger on actually, they put Tevi, I think, on IR. So this may be day – I'm not sure what they're going to do. I think they're going to keep Sam on injured reserve rather than cut him and let him go through waivers and have somebody cut him
– right.
Get him. So I think what you're going to have is maybe you keep Hundley just in case – Wentz can't go week one, so then you have a 1-2 of Eason and Hundley, who Hundley's at least been in camp with you the whole time. But it'll be interesting to see what the Colts end up doing with that, because it looks like Wentz is really trending up to
And Eason is
potentially
clearly
play week one.
Eason is clearly the backup.
Yeah, but, and they've announced as much, and I think the knee sprain or whatever it is for Sam ended up taking that out of the equation for him.
But I think, to me, Eason had won it, right?
Oh, yeah, I agree. But the injury erased all potential doubt of that.
Did you watch any of New Orleans and Atlanta? Or not New Orleans and Atlanta. Who was it? Who was Atlanta playing? Cleveland. Atlanta and Cleveland. Drew Brees was in the booth, which is what made me think of New Orleans.
Sorry, you're asking me if I watched any other preseason football besides Colts preseason football?
It was the Sunday primetime game with Collins and Al Michaels. They always do that at the end of the preseason.
Yeah, I know. No, I do not. I don't like watching Colts preseason
football. Only reason I mention it is because we were talking the other day about quarterbacks that had fallen off a cliff that we thought we'd never hear from again. And Josh Rosen was in the game for Atlanta. And actually, I thought looked pretty
really?
Good.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And he looked pretty good to the point where – you know, you thought to yourself, okay, I mean, is Atlanta going to give him a hard look to see if maybe he eventually becomes their guy again?
Well, you mentioned New Orleans. How about Jameis winning that job?
Yeah.
Good for him. You know, he had that one LOL year in Tampa where he threw like 50 interceptions. But outside of that, he's had a decent – he had a decent run as a starter, just not a number one overall pick level run.
Who's the most random starting quarterback at a new location this year? Where is Teddy Bridgewater now?
Oh, Bridgewater just won the Denver job.
See?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think Bridgewater's a nice player. You know what I mean?
Do you want me to look through? 2021 NFL starting quarterbacks. Let's just see.
Okay, give me
– see if anybody shocks us.
Give me the franchise, and I will – and see if I can name the quarterback.
I'm going to go to the bottom of this list because this is a ranking of them.
Okay. Give me the quarterback, and I'll see if I can name the franchise.
Oh, this is one. This is a guy that I forgot about. I know he plays for this team.
Okay.
But
give me the franchise.
You probably know because of Nick Yeoman, Carolina.
Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Who's thinking about Sam Darnold right now, right?
But how did he
outside
play
of fans in Carolina.
How did he play in the preseason?
Oh, no idea.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Jared Goff starting for the Lions. Yeah,
see? Okay, give me another.
Remember the Stafford trade
give
from
me another
100
one.
Years ago.
Give me another one. There's got to be a couple other teams that you're like, oh, okay, I forgot that guy's starting there.
How about the Giants? No one ever talks about this guy. And it's a
Daniel
major,
Jones.
Yeah, it's a major media market.
But he's not bad, right?
He's not good.
You don't think?
I think most of these other ones, honestly, we know. There aren't a lot of other name changes as far as destinations.
I'm probably gonna kick myself here. You're gonna go, Jake, you're such an idiot. The Washington football team. Who is starting for them?
I can't think of anyone.
It's not Haskins. They got rid of him.
Yeah.
Cousins they got rid of a long time ago. Alex Smith retired, right? It's not Jalen Hurts, he's in Philly. It's not Gardner Minshew. He's in Philly with Jalen Hurts.
They didn't draft anybody.
Is it on your list?
Does this
make for a great show?
Oh, Fitzpatrick signed there. So when in doubt,
of course.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. When in doubt.
And watch, they'll go 10-7,
yeah,
right?
I did not. I don't think I knew that. I'm kind of embarrassed to say. So there we go. So we did find one.
Yeah, okay.
Not bad, though. 31 for 32 is pretty good. But we did find one.
So the Colts have their guy in Carson Wentz. We assume he is going to be healthy. I am curious to see what the lack of time in camp does in terms of his symmetry with the rest of the offense. Defensively, I think their secondary has some questions, but
depends on what the pass rush is going to do.
They finally have a pass rush, I think. Yeah. I think Quiddy Pay is going
to
be pretty good.
If the pass rush is good to very good, that defense is going to be great. If it's just okay, then the defense is just going to be good.
Right.
So that's what you need. If this is going to be a dominant defense, then Teray, Banigou, all those guys are going to have to
really
be great. Seattle.
Have you been there?
Okay.
Have you been to Seattle?
This is like the Mike Woodson joke.
Previously
that you just kind of beat it.
It's absolutely beautiful. It's gorgeous. You got to go this time of year until about mid-October is your window, and then it gets drizzly from October. But I'll tell you what, spectacular.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
Great.
Who's your favorite Seattle band?
Hole. That's probably the most popular one, right?
Hole?
Yeah.
Okay. That is Courtney Love in that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. They're great. I can't really think of any other Seattle bands, but yeah, Hole is my favorite. Okay.
The grunge movement. You got the grunge shirt. By the way, I have an old man get off my lawn rant for today.
Oh, God.
You let me know when you want me to.
Do we have to?
Yes. Okay. You'll agree with me.
I'll let you know never.
You'll agree with me.
I don't know.
And I'm admitting that I'm old.
College football preview next.
Okay.
Indiana in the top 25. Notre Dame trying to follow up a playoff season. Purdue just trying to find their way.
Yep.
And then our friends at Ball State, who we're going to see firsthand coming up on Thursday
night. That's right.
We'll talk about all of it. We come back. It's Corey and Schultz here on the ISC Sports Network.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
Meet Kate. She has a lot to juggle. Family, work, it can lead to trying days and tired nights. But we know Kate, and at Indiana Members Credit Union, we know at some point, her space at a premium life may change. IMCU is here to help Kate and you find your space. Now, add on or remodel with an introductory rate of 1.9% APR on a home equity line of credit. Today, it's all about Kate. Tomorrow, it's all about you. Because at IMCU, it's you that matters.
McCulley in time.
Oh, no!
It's good.
This one is good.
There you go.
Oh, wow. Dawson makes a great catch.
Spin, win, three, bury it for Leland Walker.
Tie the game they do with a dunk by Malik Edmonds. What a play.
Oh, my goodness.
I feel a little momentum starting to fall LN's way.
Got it in the air. Wrestler!
Whoa!
Welcome back to Query and Schultz here on ISC Sports Network, show number 50. You know, you might be thinking to yourself, gosh, I really would like to, you know, these guys are talking about different aspects of the Colts, the offense, the defense, whatever it might be. When you think about your own career and the areas in which you think to yourself, I'd really like to shore up this or shore up that. Maybe a college degree is what's holding you back or the lack thereof. Or maybe you have one that you are really close to finishing and just never got around to it. That's where WGU comes into play. WGU.edu/Indiana. WGU is Indiana's largest online accredited online university. So, Derek, the beauty of it is you do it on your own schedule, right?
Yep.
Whether you're a get-up-and-go-getter like yourself, whether you're somebody that's more nocturnal like me or Sage, nocturnal, ambition never rests, and neither does Sage the Owl, and his head's on a swivel all the time, right? That's why he's a perfect mascot. WGU.edu is the place for you to finish that degree or maybe simply get started for a new career path for you.
You have a job, you have a family, you have a really busy life, WGU is a great fit for you. Like, that's me. If you don't really have anything going on, like Jake, WGU is a great fit for you.
That's right.
Just go ahead and knock it out whenever you want.
College football getting set to get underway, and there's a lot of expectation, a lot of anticipation for Indiana. One thing we know is that Purdue is in the easier side of the Big Ten, right?
But they, you know, Notre Dame is back on the schedule this year for them. Oregon State they open up with. You know, Purdue has a crossover game against Ohio State. That schedule is a lot more difficult than it's been.
Well, I was just simply
– No, you're right. It's a much better – division, the East
Big
and the
Ten
West.
I mean, let me tell you something. The Big Ten West, what is going on with Nebraska?
Well, that's the problem. When they redrew this in 2014, I think the thought was, okay, well, Nebraska is going to be Nebraska, so let's put them in the West. They should have never put Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State all together. That was a bad decision regardless of what happens. But I think a lot of the balance was based on the hope that Nebraska was going to be competent, and they're not.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
They're terrible. You know, we could talk about other programs that have had down periods, like Notre Dame had 20 years where they were pretty down. Notre Dame never strung together four straight losing seasons.
Derek, here's Nebraska's issue. And I say this because I think Indiana fans will relate to it. I've always said Indiana basketball and Nebraska football are very similar to one another. With Scott Frost, because he's still young and – if it doesn't work out with Scott Frost, who was a fan favorite, beloved Nebraska alum, if it doesn't work for him, then what do you do? And for Indiana, with all the years, myself included, of people that loved Steve Alford, if Indiana had brought back Steve Alford and it didn't work out, then where do you go?
Yeah.
Then who do you turn to?
Yeah.
And in Nebraska's case, who do they turn to?
It's still a great fan base.
I know.
And great tradition. And if you want to stay close to home, if you're out there, I know it's not exactly talent rich when it comes to prep talent. Nebraska is your best choice because, you know, there are some, you know, Iowa State's become a good program. Iowa's pretty good. But when you get into the Plain States, unless you're getting down towards Oklahoma, there's really not much else out there. I still feel like, Jake, even if Nebraska can't be Ohio State, Alabama, and Clemson, that they should at least be Wisconsin.
I think Nebraska for so long, Derek, and this is true of Indiana in basketball for many years, Nebraska had the advantage of back in the day, and I'm talking about like when I was a kid and before, back in the day when people before the world was so much smaller, before FaceTime and cell phones and text messages and a million television packages where you could watch any game anywhere, the odds were a lot higher that people stayed close to home for their college choice. So what Nebraska did was they always had really good interior line play because they had corn-fed, big farm, strong Nebraska kids, right? And then for other positions to round out their roster, they were able to nationally recruit because they had enough name recognition through Tom Osborne to complement with players that wanted to come and play for a big-time program.
And then they could scan the police blotter and just
– yeah, for Lawrence Phillips, right? and Indiana basketball was able to do that as well. Mm-hmm. Once it got to the point where those kids – everywhere is a national program now.
Yeah.
Everywhere. I mean, you want to go to UNC Charlotte and play there, your parents can watch you every Saturday on the, you know, whatever league they're in package. So I just think it watered down to the point where Nebraska's left picking up the pieces, but the fan base is still there.
But still, I mean, 4-8? Like, I can understand if Nebraska went down and was going like 7-5, but Nebraska should never have losing seasons. That's insane to me that the level has dropped. They ran Bo Pelini out there because they were frustrated with 9-win seasons over and over again.
Right.
And that wasn't that long ago. So I'm really surprised. I was a freshman in college. They played in the national championship
Bill
game.
Callahan, you know, the number of coaches they've gone through.
Yeah, and it's it is too bad because it really is a great fan base, but it's kind of become the Big Ten's loss because – I think not that you thought you were getting Oklahoma and Texas like the SEC is getting, but you thought at the very least when the Big Ten recruited him, it was a coup for Big Ten football. Oh, my God, we're throwing Nebraska in with Ohio State and all these great brands. You know, Michigan is down. Michigan hasn't come close to being as bad as Nebraska's been the last couple of seasons.
Indiana kicking off with Cincinnati, right?
Iowa.
I thought Indiana plays Cincinnati. Is it?
They do play Cincinnati in their non-league, but they start the year with Iowa.
That's right, at Iowa.
Yeah.
At Iowa, that's right. I knew that. At Iowa is intriguing because
– it's a tough place to win.
But Indiana was a surprise a year ago to a lot of people. And Iowa is one that by brand you think is really good, but yet it seems like they've kind of just found – I don't know. Iowa doesn't feel like the – they're not as imposing as they once were to me. I don't know how they are this year, but Iowa's usually kind of a slow starter. They lose against Iowa State virtually every year, it seems like, in the pre-league. That's a tough one to start with, though, if you're Indiana. If you're Indiana, between Iowa and Cincinnati, you got to get one of those two.
Yeah, I agree with you. The thing about Iowa is that they're never great, but they're never bad. So they're usually between 7 and 9 wins, and then every
they get a
8 to 10 years,
team.
They have like an Orange Bowl team or something crazy, like, you know, 10 or 11 wins. And they remember that team a couple of years ago was undefeated playing in the Big Ten Championship.
Iowa's had
some
turmoil within their program in the last year or so.
Yeah, which they never had seemingly before, where it was just kind of Steady Eddie and Kirk Ferentz and that group. But, yeah, it's a huge game for Indiana. Indiana's talent level has gone way up. Their defensive secondary is fantastic. They have All-American level players like Micah McFadden and Taiwan Mullen and Michael Penix, Ty Freifogel. I mean, you kind of go down the list. But the schedule is really rough. You have to go at Iowa. You have to go at Penn State. You have to go at Michigan. I don't care how down Michigan is or how, you know, pretty okay Iowa is. Those are really difficult places. At Happy Valley, forget it. And then you have Cincinnati in your non-league. So I think there's a really good chance that Indiana loses, you know, 4 games this year, but ends up having a nice season.
We forget because Indiana starting out the year, you know, it's been 50 plus years since Indiana has started a season ranked.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mallory years that became kind of the gold standard of the last 50 of Indiana benchmarks, those teams, Derek, if they would go, I mean, his best team went, 8-4 maybe? I mean, they were typically, some of them were 6-6.
They never won double-digit games. I know that.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, if Indiana can go, you think to yourself this year, it feels like anything fewer than 9 wins is a disappointment because there's so much anticipation. Let's just win a bowl game.
Yeah, if Indiana could
beat Mississippi.
How about this?
Win a bowl game.
If Indiana could go 9-4, but one of those 9 is a bowl win, and you win both of your trophy games, so the Old Oaken Bucket against Purdue, and they're at Purdue this year, if I'm not mistaken, and then the Spittoon game against Michigan State. Michigan State's been kind of down these last couple of years. I do not have a Spittoon.
It seems
I think
gross,
that
doesn't it?
Ultimately is a successful season. But you would love to get one of these
was
big scalps again.
Was that just a brass styrofoam cup?
Well, it wasn't a styrofoam cup. It was a brass,
but did you,
almost like a vase, a vase.
Did you go to college? Did you go to college with anybody that dipped?
Yeah.
And they always had styrofoam cups.
Yeah, it was always polar.
So the styrofoam cup just replaced the spittoon.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it have been smarter for guys to, like, it went
because you didn't get the satisfying ping from the spittoon that in the styrofoam cup that you got from the spittoon.
I mean, but we went in reverse order. So the guys in like 1888 that were chewing tobacco had a nice spittoon. Like that's cool,
classy.
Guys in 1988 had a 7-Eleven cup.
Yeah, not classy.
What did away with the spittoon? What did the spittoon go out?
By the way, there have been two substances in my life that I figured out that there is nothing you can do about. It's completely hopeless if you ever spill it on anything, or it gets anywhere. One of them is dip spit. The other is cat urine. I'm pretty sure cat urine can eat through brick. I've never tried to experiment that, but have you ever spilled dip spit anywhere?
Well, fortunately, I wasn't like a big.
You lived with a lot of dudes in college.
It's the grossest thing.
Got spilled.
I can't even discuss it.
You never ever get that smell out.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's almost hint of mintiness that comes with it, but it's not like the good kind of mint smell.
Okay. Notre Dame gonna be good.
You ever chug? Accidentally, where you just pick up the cup and you're like, oh, here's my whiskey and Coke. Wait a minute.
When I was in high school, there was a group of people that were dipping, and there was a girl that was insistent that she wanted to dip, and she's like, and she was very annoying. And so a bunch of guys said, no, you can't spit, you got to keep it all, and then you swallow it all.
Who gave her that advice?
A bunch of guys at Steak and Shake, she ended up looking like Linda Blair.
Yeah. It's rough.
It was ugly.
Worst experience I ever had was something like that, not dip, even though I did dip a couple times and it was awful. Red Man chewing tobacco. Junior year of high school, I was under sophomore year of high school, I was under the bleachers, Trumbull High, with Dan Cento. We had gotten some at the gas station, and I put in like a Chipper Jones, Lenny Dykstra level chaw, and then sat in the stands and was watching, and then immediately was like, oh my God, I'm going to puke all over the place. And
did you?
Ran right back out to the fence and just threw up all night.
Up
everywhere. Yeah, threw up everywhere in the stadium and then went home and threw up.
Last time you did it though, right?
Yep, never touched it again.
I've never understood how people
absolutely
can do
disgusting.
That. It's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough.
I mean, I can understand because I was thinking, oh, for wiffle ball and stuff like that, like I'll do it, because you saw a lot of the big leaguers still were chewing at that. Like Jim Leyritz was one of my favorites with the Yankees, and he always had a big chaw, and it's absolutely disgusting.
God, I forgot about Jim Leyritz.
Notre Dame, by the way, also
will they be good?
Yeah, they're gonna be good. I mean, they've got 9 draft picks to replace, but kind of like Indiana, their talent level has also gone up. It just hasn't gotten to the point where it's with Ohio State and Clemson and all of them. But I think a lot of it will depend on how they kind of set up offensively, because you've got a new quarterback and, you know, you've had Ian Book, and while Ian Book, I think, had a lot of limitations, at least with Ian Book, you kind of knew what you were going to get. So the kid from Wisconsin with Jack Cohn and leaning on Kyron Williams and Chris Tyree and some of the others offensively, they're probably going to be kind of like the Colts, where they lean on that running game a little bit more.
I feel like this year's college football season, first off, I'm curious to see what we're doing in terms of like attendance and things like that in November.
Yeah, compared to what it's going to be.
Yeah. But I think it's going to be just like last year. Ohio State, Alabama, and then everybody else. I think those two are head and shoulders above everybody else.
And that's kind of what's hard about it, where it's almost like everybody else is just competing to say, what? Hey, we won 9 games, or hey, we won 10 games. Like, you want to feel like college basketball, because of the tournament, you feel like, hey, we've really got a shot. Like, a Final Right. Four is a big deal, to make a Final Four. And in college football, as much as I love it, I think the dynamic is hurt by the sense that you feel like your ceiling is, hey, we won the Outback Bowl, because you're just not going to get invited Right. to that party, because at least 75% of the seats are already accounted for.
Yeah. And, you know, with the college football playoff, as much as I enjoy it, but if you're a team that's got an eye on the playoff bid all the way up until, like, say, the last week, and then you fall out, so you don't go to the playoffs, but you're 10-1 and you're going to the Citrus Bowl or whatever, and it's like,
it's a downer.
Do we even care? You know what
I mean? Got to mention Purdue as well. Jack Plummer named the starter. Hopefully,
that's good that they just said, you know, we're going to go with this guy. And then,
and hopefully,
you know,
they give him a longer leash, because as much as Purdue's had a lot of problems over the last 10, 12 years.
He's got a good guy to throw to.
Yeah,
Derek.
He's got a couple of good guys to throw to. But
available from the shop Indy.
I would like to see some stability for Purdue at quarterback, because they really just haven't had that. I don't think they've had a full season. I should go back and look. I don't think they've had a guy that has started every game of a season since Joey Elliott in 2009. I mean, that's how long it's been for Purdue.
Jackson Anthrop?
Because you've had Appleby and Etling and
wouldn't it be
David Blau.
Wouldn't it be something? Imagine the conflict.
Rob
Henry. If Appleby leads you to the Outback
Robert
Bowl.
Marv.
It'd be wild, wouldn't it?
It's just been like this revolving door of guys.
Forgot about Robert Marv. Remember, it was like he was going to be the guy.
Yeah, Miami transfer. It was a big deal. But we'll see. I mean, I just hope. It was such a fun first year for Jeff Brohm. I really hope they can get back on that trajectory.
By the way, if you are interested in the name, image, likeness of your favorite athlete, whether it be at Purdue like Jackson Anthrop or David Bell that we mentioned, Indiana, Trace Jackson Davis, they now have female athletes as well, Butler athletes, The Shop Indy, theshopindy.com or 918 Broadapple Avenue, also a location in Clay Terrace. T-shirts of fabulous quality, that goes without saying, but fashionable, and making a statement either about sports of Indiana or pop culture, and simply legendary tidbits of Indiana lore, all available at The Shop, the best. Theshopindy.com is their website. Speaking of fashion, Derek, I have an old man fashion rant to go on. Do you want to do that next?
Yeah, we do that. Also, some features to get to.
Okay.
And a TV show that you're watching that maybe I should watch.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that.
All right.
It's rare whenever you're ahead of me on a pop culture thing.
It is.
Usually I'm much, as people know, I'm much more hip.
Okay.
So
all right.
Talk about that.
We'll do it all next.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
At Bailey & Wood, we pride ourselves on our five-star customer service. But at our core, we're a family. Family-owned and family to our customers, staff, and our community. From charity events to recognizing hometown heroes, we prioritize giving back to our communities that have always supported our growth. So let us help you get your dream home today.
Meet Kate. She has a lot to juggle. Family, work, it can lead to trying days and tired nights. But we know Kate, and at Indiana Members Credit Union, we know at some point, her space at a premium life may change. IMCU is here to help Kate and you find your space. Now, add on or remodel with an introductory rate of 1.9% APR on a home equity line of credit. Today, it's all about Kate. Tomorrow, it's all about you. Because at IMCU, it's you that matters.
We're back on Corey and Schultz. Thanks so much for joining us, whether you're watching on ISC Sports Network, maybe you're watching on our YouTube channel, perhaps you are watching on Comcast 81 in Indiana or Michigan. I don't know. Maybe you're listening to the podcast on all major platforms. You can check us out, like, subscribe, rate very highly, and you can always check out what we're doing at coreyandschultz.com. So we've got everything going when it comes to that, too. Our friends at Chateau Kitchens bring you this portion of the program. Chateau Kitchens is coming out to my... Well, they've already done my kitchen. They're coming out to my guest bathroom to give it a look.
Your guest bathroom?
Yeah.
Okay.
We actually have, we have three full baths in the house.
Three full baths?
Yeah. We actually have three and a half.
Are you counting the two shower heads in one shower?
No. So we have a master bathroom, which we added.
Okay.
Downstairs, outside of the kitchen, we have a full bathroom that the old lady that lived in the house before us turned a mudroom into a full bathroom. So there's a shower down there and everything. And then we have a another full bathroom that's upstairs. That's small.
What about the basement?
The basement's just a random toilet in the floor, but that technically counts. So technically, like, if I were to list the house today, I would say three and a half baths.
Now, the random toilet in the basement,
yeah.
Has that ever been used?
Once, and then it broke.
Okay, I don't want to know.
But the problem is that then I had to clean it out.
Okay.
Because that was,
thanks,
when we moved in, my wife said, that could be the number two toilet. And I said, okay. So then I went down there, and I tested it out first. And it was a slow flush, but I was like, well, it's not going to be that big of a mass. So I figured that it's going to be enough to go down. And it spun. And it went, and the water drained out, but the mass of it, the solid portion of it, did not go all the way out. So I had to fish it out. And you know, it's life. As an adult, you run into things like this that you have to do, you know, DIY. So I had to do it myself.
What are we doing?
I actually took my shop vac also.
The Chateau Kitchens folks are, you know, they got the family gathered around. They're like, oh, it's the segment of the show where the guys are going to talk about us. And they turn it on and you're talking about
Chateau
spinning
deals with
masses.
Chateau deals with everything when it comes to plumbing or anything like that, any problems you have. So I have a shop vac that's also a wet vac. So I was able to get some of it out that way. So it wasn't all just through hand. But... Yeah, cleaned it all up and scrubbed it pretty good. So now it's all clean.
Can you let me know when
I was you were interrupting me. I was finishing the story. Okay. So that's what ended up happening.
Speaking of flow and flushing, let's do both of those things with this particular segment. Can we just start over?
This portion of the show brought to you by Chateau Kitchens. I think the folks at Chateau appreciate honesty because they're honest with all of their clients.
Okay.
And I'm just being honest about it. I'm sorry that you're not mature enough to handle a story about a home improvement issue that I ran into with a toilet.
That sounds like home improvement, all right.
So they're going to come and look at the guest bathroom upstairs.
Okay. I'm just going to rearrange the shirts here.
And eventually take care of that. You know, obviously they've got a lot of business right now, but if you're in the business for home renovation, anything interior, kitchens, bathrooms, basements, whatever it is, call our friends at Chateau Kitchens, ChateauKitchens.com, at Chateau Kitchens on Instagram, where you can see a lot of before and after pictures, and at Chateau Kitchens on Facebook.
I just got a message from him right now. Dear Jake, thanks for the shout-out. Please tell Derek to keep his business to himself.
Okay. I won't share any personal stories with you ever again on the show. How about that?
That would be much appreciated. Thank you. Quite the improvement.
Do you have some sort of rant that you wanted to go on?
I went on Saturday evening. Shannon's birthday was Sunday, so Saturday evening we were thrilled that the Elect, which is, you know, my buddy Michael and Jimmy and the boys, the best local band in Indianapolis. If you have an opportunity ever to see the Elect, you got to see them.
They put on a great show.
They're fantastic. So we went to downtown to the beer garden at the Rathskeller to see them, and I mean, it was just perfect. I mean, there are few things in the summer I love more than sitting out there and listening to the Elect and seeing the skyline. It's perfect. And I particularly enjoyed it because I know that I'm old. I mean, I know this, okay? I'm a week away here from 49 years old. I don't pretend to be in my mid-20s by any stretch of the imagination, but like many, I enjoy the nostalgia of reliving the fun times that I had in my 20s. And going out and going to a bar and seeing a pocket and a group of friends out together reminds me of when I used to run around with all of the guys that I ran around with. So it's fun. However, I know I'm old. So you can spare me the whole, okay, boomer. Guilty as charged.
Yo, you'll be 49 in like a week, right?
I just said that. Thanks for listening. So, yes. So
I heard you say Shannon's birthday.
What's that?
I heard you say Shannon's birthday. I didn't hear you mention her.
Shannon, it was Shannon's 40th birthday. So we went out, and when I was in my mid-20s, I don't remember the fashion trend being nuanced to just those of us in our mid-20s. We dressed pretty much like people 5 years below us and 5 years in front of us, whatever.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Are you going to mention the basketball jerseys?
No. We're away from that.
Okay.
So I'm looking at these guys in their mid-20s, and it's fun, right? I mean, I'm watching all these guys, and there's a pocket of guys, and it's really kind of like watching an adult version of a middle school mixer because I see, like, this pocket of girls, and I'm thinking to myself, like, if these guys would, like, quit sitting over here, like passing around their vape pen, which, by the way, COVID ain't going away because there's one guy with the THC vape pen and everybody's using it, right? But if the guys would go over here and talk to, and I'm watching it just going, hey, guys, these girls are like waiting for you to come over. And of course, they're trying too hard to impress, you know, I digress. The women are dressed almost like in a, what's the least appealing way that I can appear in terms of the clothing and the fashion trends, and that's okay. The guys are all dressed, Derek, like my mom dressed me for my first day of kindergarten. The in thing are these real short button-up shirts with little sailor outfits and little pirate shirts. And
yeah, I have one that has anchors on it.
Anchors is big. Yeah,
love that shirt.
And then super short John Stockton, like OP shorts.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to match that with socks that have nothing to do with the really weird, like, sandals I'm wearing. I saw a lot of guys wearing capri pants with flip-flops.
Yeah, I have a pair of capris.
And then I saw one guy that had on, like, nothing matches at all. It literally is like I'm going to go and dress as – the goal is to look like you are going out of your way to look like you don't care what you're wearing. And that's all well and fine, but I'm like, I just don't understand when it came to be that like this there would be a fashion for just like this 3-year age window.
Well, think about and I agree with you. It's all strange and weird, and it's part of getting old, right?
Let me show you. You can't see this, but I'm going to show you a picture I took yesterday.
But you just said something that I think is interesting because it immediately goes back to when you were that age. You just said, I can't think of any other time when you just dressed like you didn't even care what you looked like. 1991 is a great example of that, where people wore flannels that were 4 sizes too big. No one combed their hair. And your jeans look like they had been through a paper shredder.
Fair. I mean, that's fair. But I guess my point being, and you are correct, the difference being that in 1991, that look of which you speak was being worn from everyone from 15 to 30.
I hear you.
It was just a bigger window of people. So yesterday I'm walking around. I took a picture of this.
Were you walking around downtown taking pictures of 20-year-olds?
I was shopping for Shannon for a birthday gift. Explain what this gal, I'm not going to show it, but explain what this gal is wearing. She was with a group of friends.
I mean, she looks like Rainbow Bright. Remember that old, that 80s doll?
Okay.
You don't remember Rainbow Bright?
No.
Yeah. With the rainbow socks, that's basically what it is. Rainbow shirt. Does she have mini ears on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she's wearing,
I think.
I mean, what's, now, like right here, okay?
Yep.
This is you at 20, right? 18, 19?
I was 18, yeah.
I mean, we mock your outfit, but that basically, in this era, so this was what year?
2001.
That's not entirely different than what probably I was wearing in 2001 as a 29-year-old.
I mean, I've got the Adidas Superstars on. Those are pretty timeless. The pants, baggy cargo shorts went out, or pants went out pretty quickly.
Yeah, they did. But, I mean, my point being, like, you don't look...
Visor and sideburns. I don't
like,
know.
You are not dressed there intentionally trying to look ridiculous. I feel like now...
not intentionally, certainly.
I feel like now there are people that are like, I'm trying to look as ridiculous as possible.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
I just think it's weird.
I think you're right. But, Jake, again...
I know I'm old. I know I'm old.
We think it's weird.
I know. I get it.
But it's real normal looking to everybody else.
Okay.
You know, two things that I don't mind coming back. I have really enjoyed wearing tight pants and short shorts I like because it gets to show off my legs a little bit. So I actually like short shorts and tight pants. There's some fashion stuff I don't like.
You like wearing tight pants?
Yeah. Yeah.
So are these shorts out?
No, those are pretty tight and cool. You got to show some sock, though.
No,
show socks aren't in anymore.
I know. You know what the thing? I have 2 pair of high tops,
mm-hmm.
and I guess that's the thing now, right?
Yeah.
So I can start wearing them again.
And then, like, almost like shin-high socks. Not you know, crazy, like, knee-high ones, but.
So I can wear my high tops now?
Yep.
I got a pair of Adidas top 10s and then a pair of all-black Adidas high tops.
But the color has to coordinate with your shirt.
Okay.
Yeah. Or another accessory that you're wearing, like a snapback hat or something like that.
Or Mickey Mouse ears.
Actually, do not wear a snapback hat because... As we've mentioned on this show, when Jake wears backward hats, it's like he's trying too hard. It's just kind of depressing.
Hello, fellow kids.
This is so sad.
Hi there. Yeah. How are you?
Like, I am just really,
who's
really
ready
depressed.
To go out and get lit?
Oh, my God. I'm so sad for you right now.
I had to get the new license.
They're cool, aren't they?
They are cool, yeah. But let me tell you something, Derek. I had to get the new license, and when I went to the license branch. And my license was expiring because my birthday's coming up and I'm my 10-year cycle or whatever. So I go in and I had to get the new license, the real ID. And I took with me my soon-to-be expired license, my passport, my birth certificate, my Social Security card. I've got to be one of the 1% that actually owns 3 of those things.
You needed all of those things.
I still own a birth certificate and a Social Security card. Who owns, right? I still have both of them. Plus my passport. Plus my expiring license. Plus a bank statement to my mailing address. Plus an electric bill.
Wow.
I gave them all to the woman. And you know what she said to me? Oh, no. Your bank statement and your electric bill are under 2 different first names. Jake is not my birth given name.
Oh, boy.
My bank statement's under Jake.
And you probably took that very well.
I said, I'm handing you the identification card.
You didn't
card.
Give her your draft card? <I'm> like, is that the only piece of identification?
I'm handing you a driver's license that you issued to me.
Yeah.
Right? that you issued to me in your system. And I went through this whole rigmarole last time, and this is what you gave me.
God, you are getting old.
So
got in a fight at the BMV.
No, I didn't actually. I was pretty cool about it.
Short shorts.
And then she says, oh, and by the way, you have 6 points on your record, so you have to retake the driver's test. Well, you're allowed four misses. I went 42 for 42. Now I know that you're allowed four misses. So I'm close to the finish line. I missed three in a row. Confidence rattled.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
And you knew that you missed those three.
Oh, it tells you.
Oh, it tells you. Okay.
So I know I've got one miss left, and I'm, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And you got to get 46 correct. Mm-hmm. So now I'm at question 45. And so anyway, then I got two in a row correct, and it's like, you passed. So I'll show you my new.
That is good. That's good that they didn't have a driving portion because you would have definitely failed that. So it's good that it was a written
test. Do you know how many yards back you need to be to begin decelerating when fog, if the car in front of you is going 55 miles an hour? Questions like that, I'm like, ah, oh, man.
Oh, math?
Yeah. And it was like 200, 400, 600, 800 feet. And I'm like, it's got to be 800 feet. They're going to go, and sure. No, we're sorry, it's 400.
Yeah. You always got to go somewhere in the middle,
they
I guess.
They bamboozled me
yeah,
a little
they
bit.
They did a little bit.
But I passed.
We've got some features to get to. Okay. This show's already been too long today. Too many Jake rants. But we'll get some features.
Oh, and I'm sorry. We could have talked about your clogging your toilet for another 10 minutes.
I thought that was a good yeah, people okay. have been there. A lot of people were thinking, you know what? I've been there too. Scooping your own poo out of an antique toilet. It's a really old toilet. That's the problem too. But it actually fits me pretty well because I don't have very wide buttocks. So it actually fit me pretty comfortably. Because it was like a turn of the century toilet. Because it's an old house.
Okay.
You want to get to the features now?
Yes, please.
We'll come back.
I've never wanted
that.
To do anything more in my life.
It's Query and Schultz on ISC Sports Network.
Lord.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
At Bailey & Wood, we pride ourselves on our 5-star customer service. But at our core, we're a family. Family owned and family to our customers, staff, and our community. From charity events to recognizing hometown heroes, we prioritize giving back to our communities that have always supported our growth. So let us help you get your dream home today.
Brian Schultz, welcome back to the show. I am Derek Schultz, the much more mature one of the two of us, given the last segment, Jake Query's the other. Thanks so much for joining us on the program today, listening, watching, supporting, liking,
why are
loving.
You bouncing?
I was just thinking about how well these shorts fit. And I was also thinking about balancing my checkbook with Indiana Members Credit Union.
Now that's a good call.
Our
there.
Friends at IMCU. New-ish additions to the show are our friends at IMCU, and they bring you our Player of the Week. We're mostly going to focus on Colts players, and that's what we've been doing the last couple of weeks. But preseason just wrapped up, so IMCU Player of the Week will be for the preseason finale, the win over Detroit. And I think there are a couple of directions that you can go in, but we mentioned this guy earlier in the show,
you know,
Jake.
Derek, if you were with the money you save by refinancing your house, for example, through Bailey & Wood, a local family-owned business. That money that you're saving, what better way to invest it or put it somewhere than with a local bank, right? You don't want to send it to one of the out of town, way far away places.
No.
Indiana Members Credit Union. That's
and again, it fits the show. It says Indiana even in the name.
You're right.
And that's what we want. We're local guys. We support local businesses. Indiana, Indianapolis, Indiana Members Credit Union, Bailey & Wood. It goes kind of hand in hand. Chateau Kitchens, the same thing. That's what we try to do. Michael Strawn. Again, another nice performance, 5 catches and 7 targets, 61 yards, and further to your point, Jake, cementing himself on the 53-man roster for this
team. He has absolutely made it so he's going to be hard to keep off the field, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get that you're right. He's got to work his way into the rotation. First, the first step is to simply make the roster, but I think he has absolutely cemented him.
I get that, you know, Doolin as a gunner, and there's some other guys that bring other stuff to the table, but Strawn's potential and playmaking ability, you know, developing that, I think that would be what would you would want to kind of tap into and keep around and take an extended look at, because I don't think 3 months is enough to really make up your mind on what he can be for you. Now, look, I'm not saying that Michael Strawn's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver, catch 10 TDs or anything like that for this year. But, you know, I do think that he, at the very least, is going to make his name known at some point in some game, kind of like your Mo Alie-Cox prediction.
Okay, fair enough. So we're going to put our money, not only with Indiana Members Credit Union, but on Michael Strawn, that he is a guy that makes plays this year.
IMCU, a full-service financial institution offering free checking accounts with e-statements, low auto rates, and more. See what IMCU can do for you at imcu.com. Membership savings required. Federally insured by NCUA.
Also, Derek, in terms of our – we mentioned earlier our friends at WGU and our WGU Sage Move of the Week. I have one that I thought about that I'm a little bit biased on, right? WGU.edu/Indiana, by the way, is Indiana's largest online accredited university where you can, again, as we talked about earlier, your opportunity to complete a degree or perhaps get one started in terms of maybe a career change or whatever it might be. Ambition never rests at WGU Indiana. Talking about Sage, their mascot, but the Sage Move of the Week. There was a lot of there were a lot of people that questioned this, Derek, and this is not local, but it does affect the Colts division. Trevor Lawrence, in terms of the Jacksonville Jaguars in week three of the preseason, there was a lot of question from Urban Meyer of, do you put out your rookie quarterback? You know, Travis Etienne, who was their first-round running back that they took along with Lawrence in the first round, already is out for the year because of injury. So is it smart to take a guy and throw him to the Wolves in the preseason, even though he's going against Dallas's essentially third string? But are you running risk of getting him out there? I think Lawrence has been inconsistent enough in the preseason that Urban Meyer felt like he had to take a roll of the dice to throw him out there and get a good game under his belt and get him in rhythm to bolster his confidence going into the regular season, because this is a franchise quarterback. He went out, he went 11 for 12, a rating of 155, 160-plus yards, and looked super sharp. And I think it was a really smart move, because I think that's exactly what Trevor Lawrence needs heading into the regular season. I'm not a huge fan of Urban Meyer, but there's no doubt he can coach the game of football, and I thought that was a very sage move.
Yeah, and then traded Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, how about that?
Right after that, too. I mean, Trevor Lawrence looks the part, doesn't he? He looks like he's going to be a big-time quarterback. So there are lots of things to question about Urban Meyer. I don't think anybody's ever questioned him as a coach. Now, he's going to have to prove it on the NFL level, but clearly the guy has known in the past what he's doing, and I'm fairly confident he's going to figure it out with Jacksonville. I'm going to go for another coach, but a guy that's still in the college ranks, actually going from the pros to college instead of the other way around. Mike Woodson landing another five-star recruit in, let me make sure I get his name right, Jalen Hood-Schifino, second one of his 2022 class, which is now ranked in the top 10 nationally. And that was the big question for Woodson. It wasn't, can this guy coach? Mike Woodson has been an NBA head coach for years. He's been an NBA coach for 30 years. It was, can he recruit? And he and his staff have done a fantastic job
Derek,
doing that. So
I don't disagree with you, and it certainly beats the alternative. You'd rather have guys that come in, you know, that are highly ranked than not. But before people, and I'm talking about Indiana fans, say to themselves, like, see, here it is, like, you know, bring on the final. A buddy of mine and I had this discussion. So let me read off some names to you, and you stop me when you hear one that you're like, yes, okay. Kendall Marshall.
Yeah, I know. North Carolina, right?
Okay. You on a, okay. Impact or not impact player?
Not really.
Okay.
Was he a five-star recruit?
Devontae Smith-Rivera.
He had a pretty good career at Georgetown.
He's a nice player.
Yeah.
But would you know of him if he hadn't gone to North Central?
Probably okay. Not.
Jonah Bolden.
I don't know if I know that name.
Shamori Ponds.
Yeah, St. John's, right?
What kind of player was he?
He was a good player for St. John's.
Javonte Smart.
Yeah, you're just listing five-star guys.
Hold
right?
on. Earl Timberlake.
I know Earl Clark from okay. Louisville.
Kai Madden.
Mm-hmm.
Jabari Bird. Okay. Chance Comanche.
Yeah, I mean.
Hold on. We're almost done. Nikhil Alexander-Walker.
Yeah, he ended up being a good player at FSU and an NBA draft pick.
CJ Walker.
Yeah, Tech High School.
A different CJ Walker.
Oh, okay.
Josh Minot. Those are the player that Indiana just got is ranked as the 32nd best player in his class.
Those are other 32nd.
Those are the 10 previous number 32 ranked players in the recruiting class.
Wow. Yeah.
So people that are like, this is a program changer.
I've at least heard of most of that list.
I mean, it beats the alternative.
But yeah. And a lot of those guys were starters and good players.
You never know. It's an inexact science. So you might, and I get it. It beats the alternative, but proceed with caution. That's all.
For sure. You know? But that was kind of the one question that he needed to answer. And so
you're
far,
right.
He's answering it.
Love that play. And as well, we have quick hits to get to.
Yeah, we'll do love that play, quick hits, and then get out with the shop and Beiter Bowl Bleep.
Okay, Beiter Bowl Schultz. It's all next,
no,
right?
No, I said it correctly.
Okay.
We'll get that in post, Jordan. Thanks.
Okay.
It's here. Moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
Meet Kate. She has a lot to juggle. Family, work, it can lead to trying days and tired nights. But we know Kate, and at Indiana Members Credit Union, we know at some point, her space at a premium life may change. IMCU is here to help Kate and you find your space. Now, add on or remodel with an introductory rate of 1.9% APR on a home equity line of credit. Today, it's all about Kate. Tomorrow, it's all about you. Because at IMCU, it's you that matters.
McCulling in time!
Oh, no!
It's good.
One is good.
There you go.
Wow, Dawson makes a great catch.
Spin, win, three, bury it for Leland Walker.
Tie the game they do with a dunk by Malik Edmonds. What a play.
Oh, my goodness.
I feel a little momentum starting to fall Ellen's way.
Batted in the air. Wrestler. Wrestler.
Whoa.
Welcome back to Query and Schultz on ISC Sports Network, and it's time for Love That Play, our favorite play of the week, or since we last were together, and this time, of course, brought to you, as always, by Love Heating and Air, love-hvac.com. 317-353-2141 is the telephone number. That's 317-353-2141. Over 100 years of a family-owned business, four generations deep, and of course, when it comes to Love Heating and Air, what you know, great product, quality of product, customer care, 24-hour maintenance, great prices, all what you get with Love Heating and Air Conditioning. Derek, it's fascinating to me. I know a lot of people thought that with golf, you know, once Tiger Woods is out of the equation, people aren't going to continue to follow golf. People still get captivated by it, especially when big events go into playoffs and tension mounts.
Yeah, what I love about it is that they have a heel, and they normally golf hasn't really had that, the guy that you love to root against. I guess people did root against Tiger. I was one of those people during his prime because I wanted to see somebody else win. But and Bryson DeChambeau is clearly that guy who's kind of the heel, right?
Right.
I mean, Patrick Reed, there have been some other guys that
Patrick Reed's way up
have
there,
been,
yeah.
You know, disliked, and he was looked like he was going to win, and then here comes Patty Ice. And he's sinking putt after putt after putt, and then they get into a playoff, and both of those guys were making incredible golf shots. But ultimately, it was Cantlay who ended up just – his putter was just on fire, and he wins the BMW Championship, which isn't a major, but it's kind of one of those – it's like the Citrus Bowl, I think, of golf. It's,
right.
It's one of those highly regarded – and, of course, we've had it here in Carmel in Indiana at Crooked Stick, the BMW Championship.
Yeah, I remember – what year was that when it was here?
It was here twice. It was here in 12, and then I think they came back in 2017, 18, somewhere around there. Yeah.
I had to go to the press conference in Chicago when they first announced the BMW Championship would be at Crooked Stick, and it was like an 8 a.m. press conference
for
in
who?
Chicago
IBC?
For Channel 6.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Because this was like in 2004 or something when
All
they
right.
announced it.
Yeah.
We had to drive – my photographer and I had to leave here at like 4:30 in the morning to drive to Grant Park, and like they had this elaborate press conference, and at the very end, the guy goes, "Oh yeah, and by the way, also the BMW Championships in 2012 will be in Indianapolis at Crooked Stick. Thank you for coming." I was like, "It's one of the worst days of my life."
It's very Indiana though to be there for a 10-second announcement that acknowledges Indiana.
Correct.
Like, we're important.
Very Indiana. Also, Love-HVAC, Love Heating and Air Conditioning. Family-owned Indiana business here in central Indiana.
A couple of quick hits.
Yep.
Purdue Pete, this happened last week, named the creepiest mascot. It happened right after we taped last week's show, but I wanted to at least acknowledge the poll. I mean, I'm not surprised at all. It absolutely is the creepiest mascot. So I think the poll is dead on accurate.
The St. Louis Billiken?
Yeah. Somebody sent me the
Duke
I'm trying
Blue
to think
Devil?
Of who it was. Yeah, I thought it was somebody that you know. Somebody sent me the Providence Friar.
That would be way up there.
And I was like, this is real creepy. he's real creepy.
Yeah, the Providence Friar's up there. He kind of looks like the Little Caesar pizza guy. Pizza.
Yeah, but like it's like a mix between him and like a Dementor.
Well,
from
I mean,
Harry
the Valpo Crusader. I mean, they're gone now. Yeah. Now they're the
Was
Beacons.
He a creepy mascot?
He was kind of weird looking.
Yeah, I never remember. I don't even remember what the
he was
Valpo.
Kind of, Cleveland State Viking is something that's a little bit odd.
And check it out. Apparently, two NFL teams still without their clear QB1s as the Niners still haven't announced a starter. I mean, I'm assuming it's going to be Trey Lance. But
I'll bet you they go with Garoppolo at first and then maybe transition to Lance. I think Lance looks good,
though. And Belichick hasn't named one between Cam and Mac Jones. Now, we're taping this on Monday, so they might announce it at 5 p.m.
Isn't Cam out with COVID for a while?
Oh, I haven't really even been following their situation. I haven't really been. Apparently, Mac Jones, who I was low on, has looked really good in the preseason. But that, you know, that doesn't always mean something.
Right.
Remember that that's what happened with Ryan Leaf. And clearly nothing ended up materializing for that for Ryan Leaf.
Correct.
The Shop Spider Bowl bleep when we come back. So that was a really quick hits. And
Derek,
we'll wrap
this
up
the last
show.
Segment. We already said that.
Oh, are we not doing? Okay. Sorry. Jordan's nodding at me. We'll get that in post. All right. 3, 2, 1. So, Jake, of course, this being the last segment of the show, I know you were asking about that. The Shop Spider Bowl bleep is what we're going to end with today.
I know. That's what I said. And there's also a TV show that I'm watching that apparently you need to.
Oh, yeah. Ted Lasso?
Fabulous.
I don't get Apple TV, though. So I can't watch
How do you
watch
not
it?
Get Apple TV?
I have, like, everything else, man. I can't. You can't buy every subscription service.
Don't you have an iPhone?
Yeah.
Doesn't it come with it? Or did I pay for it?
No, you pay for it. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
How much do I pay for
it's
it?
Like $5.99 a month.
Okay. It's worth it for a Ted Lasso. It's great.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's just a very enjoyable show. I mean, there's nothing overly deep about it, although there's some – I'm all caught up on it. I'm not going to give any spoilers away, but I got a feeling it's about to take some turns and twists. But through two seasons so far, it's just likable characters, well-written, easy to follow. It's fun.
I have a jailbroken Fire TV, which I used to get NBA streams on, so maybe I'll set that up and just take it off of that.
Jailbroken Fire TV?
Yeah. Where you can basically have access to whatever you want. I don't think it's super legal, but I do have one. I'd have to plug it in.
When it comes to fashion, you can have access to anything you want at the shop, theshopindy.com, 918 Broderpool Avenue. You heard us talk about them earlier, but it is fantastic. The name, image, likeness now for Ball State, Purdue, Butler, Indiana athletes, as well as Shirts of Indiana Lore. They also bring you Biter Bullshultz. You know the drill. Derek, you make a statement. I tell you whether I buy it or I think it's Bullshultz.
Ready?
Yep.
Carson Wentz will start week 1 for the Colts. Buy it or bull bleep?
Buy it.
I'm still going to say bull bleep.
Okay.
I'm still going to say that they relax a little bit on this, but it's certainly trending up.
I will say I buy it.
And it certainly looks a lot better than where we sat 4 weeks ago in the first week of August talking about what a catastrophe it was. Clearly, it's not that as big of a catastrophe as we thought. So, I mean, it'd be awful tough to throw Eason out there week 1 and then say, hey, good job, kid. Here comes Wentz, you know?
It's what a backup's there for, though. But
that's true. That's true. Statement 2, and we kind of – I don't know if this was necessarily a good or bad thing. Probably a good thing for the Big 12 that the Pac-12 said last week, hey, we're not going to expand. But the Big 12 won't ever be a Power 5-level conference again.
Boy, that's – I mean – I don't know, losing Texas. And who are their signature programs right now?
Well, Baylor's the reigning men's basketball champion.
You're right.
Champions.
And
so,
I mean, obviously Kansas.
And they've got a good football program and a good women's basketball program, too. Kansas.
Who are their three best football programs? Football's the cash cow, so who are the three best football programs?
Iowa State. Oklahoma State, pretty consistently pretty good. You know, they're like the Iowa of the Big 12.
I mean, outside of that, there are programs that
– Baylor?
You know, like, you feel like Baylor, you feel like Colorado should be, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
Colorado's
certainly,
been
you know,
down.
Kansas State.
Yeah, they're so rarely good, though. Let me just look to make sure that we're not missing anybody obvious.
Is it West Virginia in the Big 12?
Yeah, actually, you know what? West Virginia would probably be there. You know, TCU is a pretty good program, too. I'd probably say Iowa State, Oklahoma State, West Virginia would be the best three. And if I were to order them, I'd probably do Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Iowa State.
But basketball-wise, they're going to carry their own with Oklahoma State.
West Virginia's
Baylor,
a really nice
Kansas.
Basketball program.
It is. West Virginia's good.
And they'll add – they'll probably go out and
Here's
try to get
thing.
Cincinnati and some of these other
– I think the Big 12's fine. Programs. It's just not sexy.
Yeah.
There's no sexiness outside of the fans of the Big 12.
I think people forget in the later years in the 2000s how bad the Big East was football-wise. Once they went through and started losing Virginia Tech and Miami and all to the ACC, and you had like Rutger and remember UConn played in a Fiesta Bowl? UConn. Yeah. You know, and I think that's essentially what the Big 12 is going to end up being.
Who was the UConn coach when they did that?
Randy Edsall, who that's came right. back for a second stint now, that's but right. they're horrible. My brother-in-law wants them to go back to FCS.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he a big UConn fan?
Huge UConn fan. His parents have been football season ticket holders forever.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, actually, if you get caught doing your jailhouse cable and they put you behind bars, then I can say UConn.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that again. That was an earlier time in my life when I was doing that.
Okay.
I pay for everything now. Javi Baez and the Mets are wrong to clap back at fans. Bider Bowl Bleep.
I mean, who cares really, right?
Yeah, it's the Mets. I don't know,
they have
man.
A great song, but
I'm not a big booing guy, but at the same time, I feel like this is almost like an overreaction.
But if the fans have fun with it, how do we know that
they're having fun with it? I think the fans are upset that they're doing this. You know, kind of taunting the fans. I don't know.
But it's kind of like, you know, our buddy JMV, like on his show, when people call up and they're like, hey, JMV sucks. Like, it's kind of the same thing, right? Like, it's meant – if they could turn it into a way of like, no, you're going to have fun with us now?
Maybe they can turn it into that, but the Mets stink. They were terrible this month, and they've fallen completely out of it. They're like 500 now. And so this is really this
Understood.
To their fans.
Understood.
I actually buy that. I almost always side with the players, but in this case, I don't think the players should go after the paying customers like that.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
You know, if you're mad, get mad at yourself because you guys stink right now. So that's your fault. That's not the fans' fault. Fans have the
but
right.
Javi Baez, though, like, wasn't he like the, oh, he's so fun and he's always doing fun stuff? And
yeah, he was. But
change of venue, I guess, right?
That's what ends up happening. Lindor's been a total disaster. It's been – the poor Mets, man. They
can't get out of their own
way.
They
never quite figure it out. Yeah. They you know, if the season ended in June every year, the Mets would be really good, but it doesn't end in June.
Is that Yankee snark you're throwing out?
No, cuz I don't even really consider them when I'm thinking of you know, teams. I know Mets fans are obsessed with the Yankees. I'm not really concerned with what the Mets are doing. They don't really bother me. I'm concerned with the Rays and the Red Sox, Mets, whatever.
Yankee snob.
They're not one of my peers.
Yankee snob.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yankees had a pretty good month, if I recall. Not bad. We didn't really talk
Yankee
about that.
Yankee snob. Speaking of good month, we're going to have a good week Thursday, right?
Yep, Ball State. Can't wait for that. Be with our friends Chirp Chirp up there at the Shoe for their opener Thursday night. Mike New's going to join the show. We're going to have a bunch of Ball State guests. So basically, this was our show for this week. Thursday is going to be all about the Cardinals.
That's cool.
Which I'm really excited about. You know what? Embarrassing admission. I have never been to Muncie. Isn't that weird?
So I guess I'm driving.
Oh, you want a carpool? Yeah, come pick me up. That's awesome. Thanks for the invite. Wow, we haven't done that in a long time. I'm actually really looking forward to this.
Well, I just
do you want me to make a mix?
I know how you are with directions.
Do you want me to make a mix?
No, I don't want you to make a mix.
You never listen to it. I've made mixes for our trips a lot before.
We're going
to
end up in... If you were to drive, you'd call me back. I'm here. I'm at Chrysler Arena. Where's the football stadium? No, you're in Newcastle, huh? Okay.
I know exactly where I'm going.
You're like
I'm actually
you're
great
like Kevin Lee. Kevin Lee and the late, great Bob Jenkins are the two most directionally challenged people I've ever met.
I left my boss's credit card at a Wendy's, but outside of that, I'm pretty responsible when it comes to stuff.
Okay.
So we'll see you from Ball State coming up here on Thursday.
Chirp, chirp.
QuarianSchultz.com, where you find all the info. Thanks to Jordan Shue, Jake Morris, everybody else here at ISC. And we'll see you in a couple of days. Bye.